Book of Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll start from verse 1.
Be ye therefore followers of God.
Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And so he's saying, follow the Lord Jesus Christ and be followers of God. And how? As dear children. He is giving the message to the Christians in this chapter. And so he is trying to say, we are the children of God. You know, if there is a child, 2 years, 3 years old, and mother and father, they are walking on the street, that child wants to hold the mama's dad's hand and follow them. And they want to learn everything from the mom and dad. That's what the Word of God says. You should be like a little child when you're following the Lord. The little children are very innocent. They don't know prejudice. They don't know black and white. They don't know Hindu or Muslim. They don't know Christianity. They don't know anything. Whatever their mother and father teach them, they will learn from them. And it's very important for mom and dad to teach their children as they are small. That's why he said, dear children, follow the Lord. Because we are born again, children of God. We have the Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of Christ. And that makes us to follow them. Verse 2.
And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor.
Now see, here it says, walk in love. Now if somebody tells somebody, walk in love, and they don't know what the love is, how are they going to walk in love? There is a story, it's not a real story, but some made-up story. There was a crab, and she had 3 boys. And she said to the first boy, we are living in crooked generation. I want you to show people that you can walk straight and tell the people how can we walk straight. So he started walking and he went crooked. She said, you are not listening to me. You're going crooked. She said, I'm going to tell my second son. Son, the first son is disobedient. You now walk according to what I say. Walk straight. He started walking crooked. Then she said to the third son, now you listen. Walk straight. He said, Mom, show me how to walk. You walk and I will follow you. And she started walking crooked. Do you know the crab walks crooked? So what I'm trying to say, the leader has to walk straight line. Now here he says, walk in love. And then what he said, as Christ also hath loved us. So when Jesus Christ came into this world to show us what the love is all about. John 3:16, everyone knows what he says. And he says, God so loved the world and he gave his only begotten son. For what? To save mankind. What did he do? He took your sin, he took my sin, and he was sacrificed on the cross. That's what he's saying here. He says, as Christ also had loved us and had given himself as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now somebody says, I didn't know when he did this. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross. And people didn't understand why he has to die on the cross. The Word of God says, whoever hangs on the tree is a curse. So Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, please read.
Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
See what he says? Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. When the law was given, and the people supposed to obey the law, and no one was obeying the law properly. If the law was able to make person perfect, then Jesus Christ didn't have to come. So the law was not making people perfect, but law was making people guilty. Just like if there is no red signal, you can go. No guilt. But there is a signal and the red sign comes and say, red sign means stop. Don't cross. And then you cross the red sign, then you are guilty. The same way the law was given and people were not able to obey the law. And they were under the curse. Then Jesus Christ came into this world and he obeyed the law. And on the cross he said, it is finished. What finished? He took your sin, he took your death penalty, and he obeyed the law for you. And so all our guilt and shame and everything, we put it on the cross of Calvary, and he redeemed us. As we believe that sacrifice was for me, he did it for me, so I just have to receive it by faith. He said that was like an offering, the sacrifice, sweet smelling savor to God. Do you know anytime you barbecue something and if it has a steak and lot of fat on it and you barbecue and some smell comes, aroma. People far away say, good smell is coming. So that's the same way when Jesus Christ was hanging on that cross and they beat him up all around his body and the blood was flowing and it was the sunny day, just like his body was boiling and barbecuing on that wood. And so God, when he said, that's some aroma is coming. What is that? That is a sweet smelling coming that my son is burned, tortured for mankind. And God was pleased. Somebody says, how come God pleased when his son was tortured? Why? Because Jesus Christ came as a sacrificial lamb. And he said, I will redeem the mankind. Otherwise, God was going to destroy the mankind because of sin. Jesus Christ redeemed the mankind on the cross of Calvary. And that was pleasing in the sight of God. Because the word of God says, walk in love as Christ has also loved us. So Christ loved us. He showed us love. Not only love, he said, I'm going to give a new commandment. Please read in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Saint John.
A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another.
Now he's saying, I am giving you a new commandment, love one another as I loved you. So Jesus Christ is the one who loved us and told us how to love one another. So he set an example. Read the 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 to 15.
Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Here is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Man didn't know what the love of God was. If you go to the Stone Ages, people were killing themselves. Even up to the 19th century or 18th century, people were cruel to each other. In India, people were killing their wives. If the husband is dead and wife is alive and husband is burning, they will take the wife and put it in the fire with the husband. And they don't want this wife to stay alive and married to somebody else. That was cruelty was there, but in Christ, we have love. So that's what the Word of God says. God showed us love. He loved us first. So He has already given us example. That's why we should be loving one another. Go ahead.
Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen, and do testify, that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and He in God.
See, this is the secret of Christianity. If you really love the Lord, and you call upon God, believe in Jesus Christ, then the Son of God comes to dwell in you. When the Son of God dwells in you, He said, I will call my Father also with me, and then we are going to make our home in you. So once a believer believes Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, the Father and Son comes to dwell in that person. And when the Father and Son dwells in you, then you are a child of God. You have the seed of God. You can love God, you will love your fellow brothers and sisters, and then we will not have this problem in the world. Muslim killing Jewish people killing some other people, Hindu killing Christian killing Hindus, and all these things are happening around the world. But if you are born again, child of God, and you see other person is the image of God, then you are not going to hurt that person. He says, the man is the image of God, you should not be killing man. But today, people are trying to save the whales and the spotted owls, and they're killing the babies. And so, why this is happening? Because there is no fear of God, no God in their life, and their life is not changed. Once we know that God loved us, He sent His Son to die on the cross for us, and we are belong to Him. Once we give our life to Jesus Christ, then our life transforms. Our life becomes new. And then we will be following Christ. As the word first we read, it says, be therefore the followers of God as dear children. We have to know that we are not the worldly people. Now we are the children of God. Let's read the verse 3, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3.
But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God.
Now see what he's trying to say. All these things is a fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, and all evil things, even the idolatry. All these people, he says, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Not only that, he says, you people were doing all of these things, but now you became the saints of God, verse 3. And once you are saints of God, then you are not the filthy, unsaved people or doing unclean things. In the Bible, God makes you saint when you receive Jesus Christ as His Lord and Savior. That means how it happens when we are sinners And we come to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, you died on the cross of Calvary for my sins. Please forgive all my sins and come into my heart and be my Lord and be my Savior. All of a sudden, your sins are forgiven and washed and cleansed. Your name is written in heaven. And now you are no more sinner, but God calls you. Now you are sent. You are a holy man, a holy woman of God. That's why St. Paul is saying in the verse 3, he says, this thing should not be happening to you because you are the children of God. You are the sons of God. And the verse 4, he says, what should be you doing when you are born again, child of God? You should be rather giving thanks to God. You should be thanking God that I was lost. I was in my sin, my sickness, my disease, and my pain. Jesus Christ redeemed me, saved me, healed me. What should I be doing? Thanking God. Early in the morning when you get up from the bed, first thing what should you say? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that I'm alive. And that's the day you start with. So the Word of God says, giving thanks to God in each and every situation. Thank God that we were sinner. Jesus Christ died for us. He gave us salvation. We are free from sin, sickness, and disease. We are belong to God, and we should be thanking God. And when you keep on thanking God and praising God, your mind is fresh, and the God's presence is with you. But whatever God does, and you just start cursing God and say, I don't need that God, and what the bad things happening in the world, why the hurricane happens, why this happened, and where is God, and why God is not watching all of these things, we blaming God. St. John chapter 10 verse 10 says, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. So we see all the disaster coming, all the killing, and all these bad things are happening. Who is the behind it? The devil. Devil is trying to kill, steal, and destroy. And mankind cursing God and saying why he did it. Sometimes the sickness and disease comes to your family or somebody's family, and something happens to them. Instead of coming closer to God, they start cursing God. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to pray. But why God did this to me? The Word of God says God never does anything bad to you or any loved ones. God is love. God always loves you and loves me. So the Word of God says when these things are happening to you, you better get out of it and just thanking God and praising God and glorifying God. Otherwise, he said, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. He says, if such things people are doing, they will not inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. So somebody says there are two kingdoms, kingdom of Christ and kingdom of God. Our God is one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, triune God. Even though they are three persons, but three persons in unity and one. And so we are going to go to heaven. Jesus Christ came from heaven to take us to heaven. We read a few minutes ago, no one has seen God anytime. St. John chapter 1 verse 18, he says, no one has seen God anytime. Means nobody knew who God was and who God is. Even though today, there are people having idols. They are worshipping idols, silver, gold, stone, and today they are robots. Robots can talk and do things like the mankind do. So some people may be worshipping robots pretty soon. But when you take the battery out, they are dead. And so here the Word of God is saying, some people are idol worshippers. Why? Because people don't see God and they want God in front of them. Do you remember when the God delivered the children of Israel from the Egypt? And when they came to the wilderness and Moses went to get the Ten Commandments, and here the people say, where is Moses? 40 days and 40 nights and they don't see Moses. They thought maybe some animal might have killed him. He might have been dead and we don't know how to go. We want God that can lead us. So they said, you know what, we have idea. We are going to give silver and gold and we put it in the pot and we make the some kind of idol, and that idol will lead us. And that's what they made, that the calf. And they start worshiping him. What happened when the Moses came? He destroyed that idol and he made the powder of that idol. He gave it to those people to drink it. You know what happens when you eat something? You put it in your mouth, it goes to your stomach and it comes out. That's what their God was. So in short, that God was nothing but just the dust. The people need somebody as a leader. They can see with their eyes. And that's why they make the God with their own hands. That's what the word of God says. This is called idolatry. It's, we read it just Ephesians chapter 5 verse 5. And somebody says, we are not making any idols. We just love God. But the word of God says, if you love money more than a God, if you love your wife, husband, mother, father, or anybody more than God, you are almost like an idol worshiper. So we should be worshiping God first. The people said, we don't know who God is. Let's read that verse.
No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him.
No man hath seen God any time. Then what happened? Only begotten Son, who was with God, that's the one who showed you what the God is all about. So why Jesus Christ came here? To show you the path of righteousness. To show you the path to heaven. To show you the path where God is. And now today people say, we don't want to go to God. God is going to come down. Jesus Christ came once to this world to redeem you. Now he's coming back to take you to heaven. And so God is in heaven. Jesus Christ came from heaven where the God is. And what God wants, what Jesus wants, we should be go to heaven where the Father is. And that's the plan of God. People are satisfying to stay in this world. I'm not satisfied to stay in this world. When Jesus Christ comes, this world is going to be better for 1,000 years. But after that, there will be war again. Somebody says, when Jesus Christ leaves, there will be no war. Yes, there will be no war for 1,000 years. After 1,000 years finished, there will be war again. And then God is going to destroy that devil and everything on earth. Then the word of God said, there will be new heaven, there will be new earth, there will be new throne, and God will be, Jesus Christ will be judging those people from that white throne judgment, and the people of God will go to heaven, and the people who worship the idols and devil, they will go to the lake of fire that is called the second death. Just follow Christ. If you don't know who God is, Jesus Christ is the model of love and he is God himself. As I said earlier, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is the triune God. So God with us, he says, Emmanuel. That was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came, who was God, came to stay with you. God the Father didn't come. People are getting mixed up. God the Son came to redeem mankind. God the Father sent his Son to die on the cross of Calvary. And so this is the truth. And he says, I was with my Father and I came here to show you the path to heaven. Okay, go back to the Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6.
Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience.
See, now he says, let no man deceive you with vain words. What do you mean vain words? The words doesn't have any meaning. The words cannot comfort you. The words can deceive you. The words can mislead you. Those kinds of words somebody start following. And then the word of God says, then the God's wrath will come upon the disobedient children. Jesus Christ says, follow me. St. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. So we should be following the Lord. If somebody comes and gives you some wrong teaching, you should not be following that person. Now somebody says, I don't know what the wrong teaching is. If you read the Bible, if you study the Word, you would know. God kept the Adam and Eve in the garden, or what God told them to do. Do you know? God said, watch the garden. Watch it. You are the watchman. You are the king. You are the one authority in this garden. What does it mean? Do not allow anybody to come in. So the devil comes in. Adam's supposed to say, hey, who you are? Get out of my garden. But he allowed him to come. And then what happened? The devil started talking to Eve. What he was talking? He was talking just like here he's saying. He was talking the words, vain words. The word doesn't have any meaning. What he was saying? You're not going to die. You will be just like God. Don't listen to God. He wants you to be the man, but I want you to be God. Come on, eat this fruit. You will be gods. And that's what, when they heard, they listened, and the destruction and wrath of God came upon them, and the curse of God came, and they were kicked out from the garden. So this is the warning for us. There are some people will tell you soothsaying, very nice message, so you will be not be hurt. Message of good things. But at the same time, they will be not telling you the truth. The Word of God says, he shall know the truth, and what? Truth shall set you free. If some message is coming and you are still bound and still you are in the bondage, like a people go to another big, big churches, 10,000, 20,000 members. When they come out of church, like the parking lot is on fire. Everybody smokes, everybody does all these things. And you ask them, so what? So nobody says anything. So what happened? People go there like a flood. But the Word of God says, if you listen to the vain words, if you listen to some soothsaying words, and you don't know what to do, the wrath of God will come upon you. God has kept us here to find the truth, find the way to heaven. But when the time of judgment comes, and the person who lived in sin, they might be saying, my name is Peter, my name is John, my name is this. What did you do? I went to bar all the time. I had 10 girlfriends. I was robbing the bank. I was killing people. I was doing all of these things. Did you go to church? Yes, I go to I went to church and I gave my tithe, and somebody prayed for me, and I told somebody to do rosary. If I die, I can go from purgatory to paradise. Do for me. And I did all. I helped the poor people in Africa and India and things like that. So when Jesus Christ comes, he will take me, because God loves us unconditionally. If you say like that, you will never make it to heaven. God loves you unconditionally to come to him. Once you come to him, then he says, stay with me. Stay in me. If you left me, and if you follow the devil, then our God is a jealous God. He is not going to forgive you unless you ask forgiveness and change your life. You keep on going wrong way, you are going end up in the danger zone. God loves you until you die. He gives you 10,000 times after 10,000 to come back to him. I love you, I love you, I love you. But if you keep on denying his love and you die denying him, no unconditional love after death. After death comes the judgment. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, he says, it is appointed man once to die. After that, what? Judgment. If your God, if my God and our God is unconditional loving God, why we need judgment? Why we need judge? Judge is not going to say, you know what? You took my name. Jesus, and you did all kinds of evil things. Even though you didn't ask forgiveness, I forgive you anyhow. That's not the real God. Real God tells you, I love you, I gave my life for you, and I want to change your life. Receive me, and then you will live the life of victory. And the people come with a drug addict, alcoholic, and all kinds of bondage they have. And they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then what? He sets them free. He said, ye shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free. So they are free from all these bondages. And now they live a nice, holy, clean life. The Word of God says, when you live like that, now you are belong to God. You are the children of God. You are the followers of God. But if you start listening to the people, don't repent. There is a one preacher, I'm not giving you his name. He comes and he says, you don't have to repent. God knows your heart. He will forgive you automatically. That's not our God. Our God says in 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, he says, he is righteous, he is good God, but you have to confess your sins. There is no unconditional forgiveness.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
If we confess. He says, if we confess our sins. So that means if you confess your sins, then God is faithful. But if somebody says, if the God is love and God is unconditionally loving, why I had to confess my sins? Why can he forgive automatically? That's why God is not unconditionally forgiving you. Unconditional means you don't have to do anything. He keep on forgiving, keep on forgiving. That's not our God. God wants you to turn around to him. Repent means turn around. The way you're going wrong way, you come back to me and I'll forgive you. How many times? 70 times 7 or more. He will forgive you. That's called unconditional love. But unconditional love is not without confessing your sin. Without coming to God. Oh, I was in God maybe 10 years ago. I love God. I went to church. I gave tracts. I prayed for people. I did everything. What are you doing now? Well, I have two wives. One is in another country, one is in here, and I do all kinds of things. And I believe that, you know, God will remember me because what I did 10 years ago. What the Word of God says, whatever you did, it's not going to be remembered. It says, your sins will find you out. Even the righteous man start committing sin and never repent, that righteous man will go to hell. That's what the book of Ezekiel says. He says, warn that righteous man. Not because you are righteous and keep on committing sin because you are righteous one time. That righteousness is nothing if you didn't come to God. That's what the Word of God is saying. Okay, let's go to the Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8.
For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light.
He's not saying you were in darkness. He says you were darkness. Can you imagine God saying you were darkness itself? That means your life was completely black out. Means completely dark. There was no good thing was there in your life. Your life was darkness. But he says, but now you are light. He's not saying you are in light. You are light. How it happened? You were in darkness, but you were darkness yourself. Anybody comes to the darkness, they will be dark and dark. Just like a pitch dark there, and we don't know what's happening there. So this was the darkness. But he says, now you are in the light. And that light, how you got it? In the Lord. So that's what he says, walk as children of light. You were in darkness, you were darkness itself, Now you receive the light of God and you became his children. Now he says, walk as the children of light. What does it mean? He said, let the people see the light of God through you. Amen. That means you should be a living witness to other people that I was in a darkness. But now I'm in the light. Yes, sir. Look at me. Is there any darkness? Jesus Christ said to people, find out any fault. Can you find any fault in me? Can we say something like that to somebody? Look at me. Look at me. If there is anything I'm doing against the word of God or work of God, show me. So he says, if you're followers of Christ, then you will be the light itself. Let's read Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. The word of God says, we were in the darkness. God has took us out of the darkness.
Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light.
God has given us grace to come as a saints of God and where? Light. We were in darkness. He says, now you are the not sinners. You are saints in light. You are not in darkness. Okay, go ahead.
Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son.
Now see, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. So the darkness has a power. And that power is a destruction.
Yes, sir.
So if you're living in darkness and you're doing the works of the darkness, that power is destroying you. But he says, now God has translated us into his dear Son. And his Son's kingdom is the kingdom of light. And that's what we were transformed from the darkness unto the light of the kingdom of God. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9.
But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
See what the word of God is saying? We were not chosen people. We were not good people. We were in the darkness. We were darkness itself. But God sent his Son to redeem us from the curse, and he brought us in his marvelous light. For what? So we should be showing his praises to the other people. Telling other people where we were and how God has called us from the out of darkness. Go to the Matthew chapter 5. Jesus Christ said, as you are the light of the world. Verse 14 to 16.
Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
If somebody has the light, they do not put the light under the bushel, means under some kind of container. If you do it, the light will be gone, no oxygen. So he said the light should be kept on the somewhere high ground so people can see. The same way he says, you should be like a light giving to the people. He said God has called us to give light to the whole world. We are chosen people. God has called us with a definite high calling. What is our calling? Tell the people. You want to see Jesus? See me. You want to see miracle? See me. I can give you the example. I was in dark. I am in light. I was sick, but I am healed. I was sinner, but now I am saved. That's the testimony to the world. Jesus Christ says, he is the light of the world. But now he has made you the light of the world. You stay in the presence of God, you will be glorified. You remember Moses went and stayed in the presence of God 40 days and 40 nights. When he came out, his face was shining. People say, oh, we cannot see your face. So he has to put the veil on his face, so people will not be scared of his face. How much glorious our life is. If you read the 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we don't have time. He said, the Moses ministry was the ministry of letters. Our ministry is the ministry of spirit.
Yeah.
If that ministry was that glorious, how much glorious is our ministry? How much glorious is our life? Jesus Christ says, he is the light of the world. And once we receive Jesus Christ, we become the light of the world. That's what the ministry is all about. Once you get saved, don't sit at home. He said, the light will not stay under the bushel. Light should be shine so the people can see. There are born again people, but they don't know how to tell somebody what happened to me. Why God saved me? What is my life is all about? They cannot say. Why? But the light comes to the world. When we read in St. John chapter 1, he says, when the Jesus Christ came as the light of the world, and the light, the darkness was not able to destroy the light. If you keep the dark room, and as soon as the light switch comes, you don't know where the darkness went. Darkness has no power to quench the light.
That's true.
When Jesus Christ came as the light of the world, devil has no power to make him a dark. So he said the darkness had no power to destroy the light. And that's what we are. We are the light of the world. Devil has no power to destroy us because greater one lives in us.
Amen.
So we can shine for the glory of God. Okay, let's go to the Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9.
For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth.
So what he's trying to say, you should be producing the fruit of the Spirit. And he says, what is the fruit of the Spirit? In nutshell, he's saying, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and all righteousness and truth. But if you read in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit are given. Please read. Galatians 5:22.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
Now, these are the fruit of the Spirit. But here in nutshell he's saying, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. If you are born again, child of God will have all these nine fruits producing in him. How? When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a child of God. And so you are going to produce the fruit of righteousness. How we became righteous? Because Jesus Christ washed our sins away. And now because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we are righteous. Righteous means right standing in front of God. And when God sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ, he says, you are a holy man, a holy woman. So he says, let's produce the fruit of righteousness. Let the people see that we are living in truth and we are living in God and our life is completely holy. Let's read verse 10, Ephesians 5:10.
Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord.
Now he says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now somebody says, I don't know what is acceptable to the Lord. You should be bearing the fruit of righteousness and holiness and truth. That means let the whole world know that we have belonged to God. But if you say, what is acceptable? Why are we doing all these evil things? In Galatians chapter 5, we read verse 22 and 23. But if you read verse 19 and so, he said, the works of the flesh will destroy you. That's why the Spirit, when you receive the Spirit of God, we start producing the spiritual fruits. Book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, he says, give your body as the living sacrifice to God. This is your reasonable service. So what God wants your whole being. Not your money, not your talent. God wants you. Once we surrender our life to God and give our body as a living sacrifice, that says this is your reasonable service. So God says, if you give your body, give your life to me, then I can use you. That's why you have to say, here we are, Lord. This is my body, and I'm giving to you. Make this body as your temple. Come and dwell in me. And then he said, then you will know what is the will of God for you. Once we give our body to God, once you give holy living sacrifice to God, and then God says, I'm well pleased now. This is what I was looking for. When you give it to me, then I'll use it to for the glory of God. And that's what the word of God says. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. We have to say, Lord, what do you need from me? You gave me everything. What should I do? We have to be say, I'm available. I want to do whatever God wants me to do. Other day I was talking to one person. He said, I am available. If God wants to use me, whatever the way, I'm ready. That's what God wants. That's what he says. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Say, Lord, what do you want from me? I'm ready to do it. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 11.
And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them.
Now see, this is very hard words. Sounds simple. But it says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. One thing. That means if you are a believer, you should not be having a fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. What does it mean? If one person calling himself or herself a Christian and living a sinful life and not changing the life or lifestyle, he says, be careful. Do not mingle with that person. Means somebody has the liquor party. You should not be going to that party. And somebody says, what's wrong? I can go and preach there. The word of God says you cannot throw your pearls to the swine. If your mind is corrupted or your mind is already drunk and you cannot be sober-minded, how can you preach to that person? That person is not going to listen because their mind is bombarded with other things. So he says they're doing the works of the darkness. And so what do? You say, but rather reprove them. What does that mean? If you are doing this, do some reprove. Do some changes in your life. St. Paul says, I was a child. I was doing the childish things. But when I became grown up means what? In spiritually grown up. He said, I have given up the childish things. I'm going to give the childish things. I'm going to reprove myself. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to live for Christ. I'm not going to live for the world anymore. And that's what he's saying. But some people are not changing, do not want to change somebody. When I try to tell somebody, don't do this, who are you? Are you the judge? Why are you telling us? We have a Bible. We can read ourselves. Who are you to tell? But here he's saying, rather reprove them. If somebody is doing wrong, we should be telling them, this is wrong. If you're not telling them, please read the Romans chapter 1 verse 32. This is why I'm going to stop here. Go ahead.
You, knowing the judgments of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them.
Did you understand this? He says, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Now you say, what such things? You have to read the Romans chapter whole 1 up to 32. Then you know what kind of sinful activities are mentioned in that chapter. He says, if you're knowing the judgment of God is coming, and these things you keep on doing, then what? The punishment is death. But he said, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. What does it mean? He said, some people are doing the wrong thing. And not only they doing, they know they are going to die and go to hell, but they enjoy other people doing it. Means they promote other people doing those things. And that's what some people's lives are. And so what happened? That comes in the same category. Some people said, I don't do anything, but I enjoy other people doing it. I just watch. That's why some people go to the beach and watch naked girls. They say, well, I don't do anything, I just watch. Doing these things and you promoting others, says, hey, you can go and have a good time as long as you're not touching other lady. You can watch. And there are some people hiding somewhere in the bathroom, put the cameras and get the pictures. They have it. They're watching the bad stuff. So here the word of God says, you should not be doing this thing. You rather reprove those people, rather tell these people, but you go along with these people and you have pleasure doing those things. Same thing, the death comes. So what the word of God is telling us today, we are the children of God. We have to walk according to the word of God. He has called us in the light, and we live as a light in the world. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have given us the great high calling and no turning back. We are following the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are going to reflect the light to the world. We are not going to take the form of ungodly people, but we are going to be saints of God, living in truth, producing the fruits of righteousness, and living for Jesus Christ. Help us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.